There's a lot of things going on as we start thinking of Christ coming, world ending. Now, don't panic. The world at least has 1,007 years left. So don't worry about there's going to be a nuclear war and everything's going to explode and everything's going to be over in 5 minutes. I will guarantee you that the world will still be here when you go look for a restaurant to eat at this afternoon. But there are things that we kind of just read through, we kind of go over, and every one of you, if you've been in the Bible much at all, have certain passages in each book that have a little more value than others in your mind. You know, I love 2 Corinthians 2, 3, and 4. I love chapter 5, too, Any Man in Christ. You know, I really enjoy chapter 2 of 1 Corinthians when it says, I didn't come to you with enticing words of men's wisdom, but I came to you in the demonstration of the Spirit and power. You know, some of my favorite books are Ephesians, Philippians, Colossians. I love the book of Luke. For some reason, that just identify with what's going on. And John chapter 9 is probably one of my favorites when it came to a place where Jesus healed the blind man, and then I kind of chuckle every time that the people in the synagogue cast him out because he got healed. Maybe they were ugly and you could finally see their face. I don't know. But anyway, you know, there are just a lot of amazing things that we take out of the Word of God. And in the Old Testament, you know, I love Joshua. You know, I really love the book of Joel. I see a lot of things in there. And I honestly never given much thought to 1 Corinthians chapter 1. But yesterday morning, out of panic, I decided I better read something different. No, there was no panic. And so I started reading chapter 1 of 1 Corinthians, and let's just start with verse number 3. And somebody's going to say, well, we should read verse 1 and 2, so okay, we'll do it. Paul called to be an apostle. Oh, I got the red Bible. Oh, my word. Wow. 2 times in 3 weeks I bring the red Bible. Paul called to be an apostle of Christ Jesus by the will of God and our brother Sosthenes. To the church of God in Corinth, to those sanctified in Christ Jesus and called to be holy together with all those everywhere who call on the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, their Lord and ours. Grace and peace to you from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Okay, you get all that? Mm-hmm. Okay, good. I don't have to explain it. Now I'm going to do some explaining. I always thank God for you because of the grace given to you in Christ Jesus. For in him you have been enriched in every way, in all your speaking and in all your knowledge, because of our testimony about Christ was confirmed in you. Therefore, you do not lack any spiritual gift as you eagerly wait for the Lord Jesus Christ to be revealed. He will keep you strong to the end so that you will be blameless on the day of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. I put the amen in there. It's kind of interesting in the minds and hearts of some believers as we get closer to the book of Revelation. It's kind of interesting how they begin to think. You know, I've talked to many, many, many believers who want to see Christ come, but they're afraid, am I going to make it? Am I going to hold on? Am I going to be okay? Am I going to be left? Am I going to be this? Am I going to be that? Okay, let's get all that out. The Bible says there's going to come a falling away. I understand that. The Bible says there'll be time when people will be seduced by deceiving spirits. I understand that. But how many of you are open to a deceiving spirit? How many of you are looking for a deceiving spirit more than you're looking for the coming of Christ? Well, we'll come back to that. You don't know what to say. And so, Paul, dealing with a lot of stuff in the church of Corinth, it was a very spiritual church. At times, it was a hyper-spiritual church. At times, they were a church that needed to be reprimanded. There was a church that would celebrate the Lord's Supper with a full meal, and some people would get drunk, and other people would not get any food to eat. There's just a lot of stuff here, okay? But Paul's heart was a heart of thankfulness for that church. Paul says, I thank God for you all. And he wasn't from Texas. Y'all? Come on. You're brighter than that. And so he's talking to them. And so I just started thinking, how many of us are truly thankful for everyone in the body of Christ? How many of us can stop and say, when I think of COC, I thank God for everyone who walks through that door? And it's my purpose to honor and respect them and let them know I love them, regardless. Sometimes we may have some different thoughts. I just thought I'd show you a few things. Turn with me to Ephesians chapter 1. Ephesians chapter 1, verse number 15. How many of you today have faith in Jesus Christ? Amen. How many of you don't know if you have faith in Jesus Christ? If you're refusing to raise your hand, you want to come up here, I'll pray for you. Hear what Paul tells the church at Ephesus. For this reason, ever since, in verse 15, for this reason, ever since I heard about your faith in the Lord Jesus and your love for all the saints, I have not stopped giving thanks for you, remembering you in my prayers. I keep asking God, the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the glorious Father, may give you the spirit of wisdom and revelation so that you may know him better. I also pray that the eyes of your heart may be enlightened. It's kind of neat. It's kind of neat. You know, if sometime you say, well, you know, I think I want to really pray for the people at COC. And as you start praying for people, just pray this prayer. There's no copyright law on it. And you can use it. And you can come to a place where you can just simply begin to pray for everyone. And if you're like me, this morning early, I was praying for everyone and remembering you by where you seat. So please don't change chairs.
Does that mean I have to move back?
We'll talk about that later. You'll be first on the prayer list. Philippians. The book of Philippians. I just want to show you this. This hit me pretty amazing. Philippians chapter 1, excuse me. Verse number 2. Chapter 1, verse number 2. I think this Bible has the books in different locations. Grace and peace to you from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. I thank my God every time I remember you. I thank my God every time I remember you in all my prayers for all of you. I always pray with joy because of your partnership in the gospel from the first day until now. Now here's, don't miss this one. Being confident of this, that he who begun a good work in you will carry it on to completion until the day of Jesus Christ. Being confident that God who started a good work, that's not a bad prayer for our people. That's not a bad prayer, that God would fulfill the completion of the work that he started within you until the day we're with Jesus. One more, Colossians. Colossians chapter 1. Verses 3 through 6. We always thank God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, when we pray for you, because we have heard of your faith in Christ Jesus and of the love you have for all saints, the faith and love that spring up from the hope that is stored up in you for you in heaven, that you have already heard about in the word of truth that has come to you all over the world. The gospel is bearing fruit and growing just as it has been doing among you since the day you heard and understood God's grace in all truth. Bearing fruit. Paul looked at everybody that he knew had come to Christ and thanked God for them. Thank God they were bearing fruit. Thank God for the ministry. Thank God for the spiritual gifts. Thank God that he knew them. And I want us to know it really is past time that every single believer appreciates every single believer. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Amen? Yeah. Amen? The Bible says, let us do well, especially to those of the household of faith. Let us do that. But let's start out, because we're not going to despise someone we're thanking God for and we're praying for. We're going to get everything tied together that you're my brother and sister in Christ. And the important thing about that is, no matter what I think about you right now, I'm going to spend eternity with you. And there won't be any pictures of Pastor on horseback. And so we just come to that place where all these people, and I don't know how many people Paul led to the Lord, but it must have been more than a couple, he was thankful for. He was thankful for. Let's continue on back to 1 Corinthians 1. For in him, in Christ, you have been enriched in every way, in all your speaking and in all your knowledge. You have been enriched. Now, if someone was saying that you were enriched in the material things of the world, that would be saying that you are a multi-millionaire or billionaire. That riches have been lavished upon you. You're not excited. This has a little different meaning. The word enriched means extreme wealth. In other words, what Paul is saying, that you are extremely wealthy in God.
Amen.
That the day you got saved, at that moment, was the richest day of your life. And from that time on, it has grown. It has multiplied. You're rich in power. You're rich in salvation. You're rich in gifts. You're rich in fruit. You have been loaded down by God with his blessings. The Bible says in Ephesians 1 that he's blessed us with every spiritual blessing in Christ Jesus. So how can we have lack in spirit if we have been blessed with every spiritual blessing? Do you know why? Because we say that must be for some preacher. That must be for some TV evangelist. That must be somebody doing better than me. No, it's for us. God has lavished His spiritual riches on us to a place that He calls us wealthy. Okay, you can do better than that.
Amen.
Where is Paul when I need him? He's lavished it upon us. And then he clarifies that by saying, because of our testimony about Christ was confirmed in you. How did we get there? Paul was saying, because when I shared my testimony, when I preached to you, you received it and it was confirmed by the Spirit of God in you, and that made you wealthy. How about looking at your life? What has the testimony of Jesus Christ accomplished in you? Well, we are at a place, if we go to heaven, we're okay. But if we stay here, we're okay for a while. How about the things that's been given to you through the testimony of Jesus Christ, the change that has happened, the power that's come to you, the blessings of God that's come to you, the riches that have come to you through the gospel of Christ? We are no longer foreigners and strangers to the covenant of promise. Think, please think. Think of the promises that God has made to us that sometimes we forget about. Sometimes we ignore. Sometimes we just come to a place where I'm so wrapped up in what's going on in my life, I can't see. I'm in the forest, I can't even see the trees. It's amazing. I haven't had a lot of time to visit people, I'm going to tell you. But I had to go out and see a man down the highway here about 6 miles or 3 miles. That was next to Judy in the hospital. Because I kept going over there and praying with him and ministering to him. And his daughter, who lives in Alexandria, said, hey, when we come home, we're coming to church. That's a good start. But, so I went out and saw Dick. If you've driven the road, you've probably seen him walking, an older gentleman walking on the highway. Don't hit him. So I went out there Tuesday or Wednesday and just sat and talked to him and just had a wonderful time. Share a testimony. Talk about Jesus. Do something else. My daughter came to the hospital one day and said, Pastor, why are all these people stopping in to see Mom? They don't even know her. I said, oh, they're just nice people. But we had a trap line. We walked from room to room, just talking about Jesus to people, praying for people. One lady, there was no hope for her. She went home. Why? Because they started to accept the testimony. And that testimony was confirmed in their lives. And when this lady went home, and she had to be close to 75 or 76, she looked and said, praise God, I'm out of here. You ever been in a hospital for very long? You say, praise God, I'm out of here too. But believe the testimony. And enriched by the testimony of Christ. And again, it's not about me. It's about God opens doors. What did he say to Philadelphia? I have opened a door that no man can shut. And when God opens a door, go through it.
Amen.
Go through it. He continues on here. Therefore, you do not lack any spiritual gift as you eagerly wait for our Lord Jesus Christ to be revealed. What spiritual gift do you feel you're lacking? As we are waiting for the coming of the Lord, God has gifted us for the time that we live, for the day that we live, to do the things that He's commissioned us to do. There's no emptiness and there's no lack. We have enough to overflow. And all it comes to is that we do it. You look at me like, whoa. Did you understand what Paul wrote in Ephesians 4? It's the leadership's job to equip you for the work of the ministry. Now you missed another play time when you could praise God. Now stand up with me. I'm not putting up with this any longer. I want you to put your Bibles down and I want you to clap and shout that you're equipped to do the work of the Lord. Come on. I want you to clap and shout. Enough is enough. Praise God that you are ordained by God to do the work of the ministry. Hallelujah. Come on, you can get excited. Hey, you can do better than that. So, as we're waiting for Christ, don't go out and buy a lazy boy. You know, don't buy a 100-inch TV so you can spend more hours watching. And I'm not picking on TV. I want to get out. Oh, I got to go. The kickoff is coming. I mean, that's the second part of my spiritual day. But you see, you've been equipped by God as we eagerly await the coming of the Lord. We've been touched by God. We've been energized by God. We've been full of God's wisdom and His knowledge so that we are not just trying to bail out of planet Earth as we wait for the coming of the Lord. There are things that are happening in our life that are equipping us to be prepared for the time and the hour that God sets in place and designed for us to minister. Do you realize? You know, Jesus said, pray the Lord of the harvest that He'll send forth laborers into His vineyard. How many have ever prayed for that? And who's God send? You. You begin to pray for the Lord of the harvest to send forth laborers into the harvest. He's sending you. Because your heart is in tune. You are listening to the voice of the Spirit. You're ready to do it because your heart was touched by God to be equipped to do it. And so there are things that God leads us into and God actually sets you up. You know, the most wonderful experience you ever had, be set up by God. He's not necessarily blindsiding you. He's setting you up to fulfill what He's called you to do. One more verse. Verse number 8. He will keep you strong until the end.
Hallelujah.
Okay. He will keep you strong to the end that you will be blameless on the day of our Lord Jesus Christ.
Thank you, Lord.
He will keep you strong. He says, I'm coming for a church. A glorious church without spot or wrinkle.
Amen.
I'm coming for a glorious, say this with me, I'm a part of a glorious church, without spot or wrinkle. I don't need to be beat up by someone. I'm a child of God. And my discipline comes through His Word and the Holy Spirit. Boy, you kind of died the last part. We're a glorious church, folks. We're glorious because of the blood of Jesus. We're glorious because we've been forgiven. We're glorious because we've been empowered. We're not some second-rate group of people just waiting to get God to bail us out. We're here, and I'm believing that we're stopping the hands of the enemy from doing what he wants to do, and we'll stop him until we're gone. And you may say that's all hype. No, it's not. I want to show you just two more of our passages of Scripture because they're so beautiful. If you've been worried that you're going to miss it because you're human, but if you're afraid you're going to miss it because you're human, then every human's going to miss it.
That's true. That's
right. Come on. Well, I have some frailties. Who didn't? Well, I have some issues. Who doesn't? The problem is the people who have issues and frailties without recognizing what's going on in their life because they never deal with it with God. With our weaknesses and our frailties, God has made room for that so that he can minister to us. You know, there are actual people around who call themselves, well, maybe they are Christians, who think God gets more desire out of sending people to hell or letting people go to hell than heaven. That's not God. It's not a lottery system between God and Satan. I got more than you, and I get more than you. You get this one, I get that one. That's not it. Jesus came to forgive sins and take us to the Father eventually. I like what he says here. That he will keep us strong to the end. I don't go to bed at night thinking, boy, I could miss it if Christ comes. I'm not going to live my life for the devil. I'm not a practicing sinner saved by grace.
That's right.
I am a saint who sometimes sin, and so are you.
That's right.
Come on. I don't go to AA meetings for 45 years and say I'm an alcoholic. Forget that. When Jesus set me free, I was free. When Jesus set you free, you're free.
Amen.
Don't make a confession that's not real. Is that okay?
Yes, sir.
Is that okay? And so I'm not declaring that I'm weak. The Bible says, be strong in the Lord and the power of his might. Mm-hmm. And so what is heaven going to be like as we get there? Turn with me to the book of Jude. I better turn my page so I know where to go. Is that Jude chapter 2? Jude verses 24 and 25. I want you to understand something. Have you ever thought God could be just a little bit emotional? Huh? Do we have a right to say God might be a little bit emotional? Look at this. Unto him who is able to keep you from falling and present you before his glorious presence without fault. Can you believe that?
Amen. Yes.
Two of yous. The rest of you are going to wring your hands and sweat it out until the rapture. And if you get up there, you'll say, man, I didn't think I was going to make it. And I'll say, I didn't think you were either. He's going to present you faultless.
Thank you, Jesus.
Totally cleansed, blameless, before his throne, and that's only part of it. With great joy. He's going to have great joy over you.
Thank you, Lord.
How many of you are saying, he dances over me?
Yeah.
Do you ever believe that? Do you think God can do the two-step?
Better than we can.
He has enough music.
Right.
Without fault and with great joy. Do you think that's just in there for filler?
No.
To the only God, our Savior, be glory, majesty, power, and authority through Jesus Christ our Lord, before all ages, now and forevermore. Amen. Can we get a hold of that? Can we just take that? You see, too often we remember what we were.
That's true.
God has no memory of that. And so God can look at what you are and what you're going to be.
Mm-hmm.
While we're still hanging out here in the lily pads. Just kind of looking at ourselves and say, boy, my life is miserable. I was a worse person. I was a mess. And God is saying, hey, you're missing out on everything I want to give you. Because I don't look at you that way.
That's right.
I look at you as my glorious church without fault and blameless. If we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship with one another and the blood of Jesus Christ, God's Son, cleanses us from some sin.
From all sin.
So why are we hanging on to what we had?
That's right.
Why aren't we going forward into what we can get? We're living as second-class citizens in the body of Christ when there are no second-class citizens.
That's right, amen.
Do you realize that when you lead somebody to God on their deathbed, they have 5 minutes and they're dead, they're just as righteous as we are?
That's right.
And they're in heaven.
Praise God.
How'd that happen? Because the blood of Jesus Christ that makes us righteous makes them righteous. And God didn't say you have to serve me for 3.5 years before you have any opportunity. There's no 30-day trial.
That's right.
It's now. Behold, now we are the sons of God, but it does not yet appear what we shall be. But we know when he appears, we shall be like him. He will conform this body of the flesh like into his glorious body. So can we handle that?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Please take hold of this. It will radically change how you look at things, how you look at people, even how you look at God. You're not ducking. God doesn't give hard hats as we come to church. I got one more, and I want you to think about it, because God doesn't want you bound by strongholds. He made us strong, but he made us able to break strongholds. The Bible says in 2 Corinthians chapter 10, or is it 1 Corinthians chapter 10? I think it's 2 Corinthians, that the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty in God for the pulling down of strongholds. A stronghold is a mental prison that Satan has you bound in. It's a prison that takes control of your mind. It's a prison that doesn't allow you to enjoy Jesus Christ because you're always looking at something you did or something that you didn't do or what the devil's doing. And we often look, and I just picked this up yesterday, We often look at strongholds in other people's lives. If you can't accept God loves you, if you can't accept that you're righteous, if you can't accept that God enjoys your presence, that's a stronghold. Mm-hmm. That's a stronghold that Satan is using to torment you. If you're always looking at it, I'm not doing enough, I can't get this right, there are strongholds that we go through, and God is saying, tear it out. You can tear it out. For the pulling down destruction of strongholds. We often go through our lives as believers with some thing that is hindering us from stepping in to where God wants us to be. Well, I'm just a woman. Really? It almost took a woman to get Jesus here. Really? The church frowns on women, but the church is nuts.
That's right.
The men that are frowning on the women don't realize it took a mother to get them here. Don't let anyone tell you that because of your gender, you can't be used by God. That's ridiculous.
Amen.
Philip had 5 daughters who prophesied. Book of Acts. Step into your calling, women. And men, let them step into where they need to be. Because without women, a lot of the churches that are now thriving would have been closed. It's true. And while you're doing that, man, why don't you take a look at yourself and step into where you're supposed to be?
That's right.
One amen. Come on, guys, you can say amen.
Amen.
And so we're in this together. God knows what gender you are. It just doesn't bother him. Doesn't matter. We're stepping into this thing, and we can't do it without the men and the women coming together in the body of Christ and doing what God has called us to do. Yeah. Tear down the stronghold. I have a pastor friend that don't believe women should speak in the church. I think most women would rather listen to them than him. But that's okay, I'll be friends. It's like Bill Johnson says, stupidity is contagious. But we're moving ahead. No limitations. No limitations on the gifting, the calling, the presence of God, what God is doing. We're in this together.
Amen.
It's like somebody said many, many years ago, either we hang together or we hang separately. Kind of a popular statement back in the 1700s. So here's where I close. You're enriched. Folks, you have wealth that you're not even aware of living within you. You believe the testimony. You allow what was preached to absolutely come in and take control and allow you to become who God wants you to be. You're not short in any spiritual gifts. The shortness comes in when we don't recognize what God's doing in our lives. And we keep asking Him for stuff that He already gave us. And we're strong. We're strong. We're strong. There's no spiritual weakness that's allowed in us. We're moving ahead. And you know something else? Christ wins.
Amen.
And whose side we are on? We're on Jesus Christ. Amen.